Aham evasam evagre nanyad yat sarasat param paschadaham yare tachcha yo vishishyeta sosmi aham. And of course, this is one of four verses. And here we have them here. And of course, these are called the nutshell verses or chatursloki. And in perspective, we've heard Suda Goswami preaching Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. Then within that, we've heard Brahma preaching Srimad Bhagavatam to Narada. And we've also heard Narada preaching Srimad Bhagavatam to Vyasa. And now we're going to hear Vishnu speaking to Brahma. So in these first two cantos, we have Vishnu to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyasa, and Vyasa to Sukadeva Goswami. No, that's not here. But then we have Sukadeva Goswami in the, talking in the first three chapters to Maharaj Parikshit, and Suda Goswami was hearing the same time. And then we have Suda Goswami to the sages. So pretty much we have the whole parampara, each discussion, each class. And so Lord Brahma's class is very short. And so that today's translation is 2934. it's 29. Yes, where is it here? Radhi Radhi, 2933. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So Krishna is the beginning. Before there's anything, he exists. While it's existing, he's there, and after it's finished. Okay, the next lesson. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So we may be in a dark room, and there may be some light being reflected into that room. And so that's the actual condition of things that we think are real. They're only reflections of the real reality that's seen in darkness. Unless we can understand the connection to Krishna, unless the connection to Krishna is there. Okay? And then the third verse. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into my... Please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos. At the same time, do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created. At the same time, I am outside of everything. So one nice example that we think about is you may have a ball of yarn. You start knitting, and after a while, the ball of yarn disappears, and there's a very, very nice, big, warm sweater there with arms, a turtleneck collar, and the body of the sweater. So it appears that the yarn has ceased to exist. But it all depends on your angle, because if you go at it from the end of the thing, then you don't see the sweater. You actually experience the ball of yarn as what it was, like a continuous straight line. And then, of course, when you start pulling on one thread, then what do you know? The whole sweater disappears. So does the sweater exist or not? And this is what we were talking about. Krishna is, everything we're seeing is Krishna, but from a certain perspective, a temporary perspective, we see the cosmos. But actually, it never existed in the first place, really. Okay, and last lesson, a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly must search for it up to this. In all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. Like that. So we have to know Krishna as the cause of all causes, everything else, directly through the Paramatma and indirectly through the devatas and demigods who manifest this world. Like that. Okay, so that's, and then Brahma understood everything. Ah, I understand. And he was able to go about his work then, his service. Like that. Okay, now today's purport is rather long, but Krishna's Prabhupada and the Acharyas are not talking about a lot of points. The first point is this point about I am. Prabhupada says we should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis himself, pointing out that it is he, the personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. It is he only who maintains the creation, and it is he only who remains after the annihilation of the creation. Brahma is also a creation of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist puts forth the theory of oneness in the sense that Brahma, also being the same principle of I, because he is an emanation from the I, the Absolute Truth, is identical with the Lord, the principle of I, and there is nothing more than the principle of I. So right away, it's so stupid, you know, the principle of I, like that. You know, Prabhupada is making this point in the Acharyas that Krishna is standing right in front of him and saying, Aham. And Aham is a very simple, clear word. And that there is nothing more than the principle of I as explained in the verse. Accepting the argument of the impersonalists, it is to be admitted that the Lord is the created creator I, and Brahma is the created I. Therefore, there is a difference between the two I's, namely the predominator I and the predominated I. Therefore, there are still two I's, even accepting the argument of the impersonalists. So they're arguing that Brahma is an emanation of Krishna, therefore he is Krishna. But it's the same point, that no, one is the energetic and one is the energy. Therefore, okay, but we must note carefully that these two I's are accepted in the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad, in the sense of quality. The Katha Upanishad says, Nityo Nityanam Chetanash Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Virati Kaman. The creator I and the created I are both accepted in the Vedas as qualitatively one, because both of them are nityas and chetanas. Both of them are eternal and both are conscious. But the singular I is the creator I, and the created I's are plural number because there are many I's like Brahma and those generated by Brahma. It is the simple truth. The Father creates or begets the Son. The Son creates many other sons, and all of them may be one as human beings, but at the same time, from the Father, the Son and grandsons are all different. The Son cannot take the place of the Father, nor can the grandsons. Similarly, the Father, the Son, and the grandson are one and different also. As human beings, they are one, but as relatives, they are different. Therefore, the relatives of the Creator and the created, or the predominator and the predominated, have been differentiated in the Vedas by saying that the predominator I is the feeder. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. So vidadati means he's giving. Dadati patagrinati. The predominator I is the feeder of the predominated I's, and thus there is a vast difference between the two principles of I. Okay? That's the first feature. And when we're talking with Mayavadis or something else like this, we can point this out, that Krishna is standing right in front of Brahma and he's saying, I. And his form is there. And so considering this, why do we make this wild, you know, jump to something which is not there in the simple language? He's showing his form. He could do something else. And he's saying, I am, in a very simple fashion. Okay. In another feature of this verse, no one can deny the personality of both Brahma and of the Lord and Brahma. Therefore, in the ultimate issue, both the predominator and predominated are persons. Because you might say, for example, like the fire is the predominator and the light is the predominated. You know? And so, yeah, they're two different things. We accept that, the fire and the light. But here, Prabhupada's going to start talking now. He's going to add to this and say that not only does Krishna exist separate from Brahma, but they both have personality. This conclusion refutes the conclusion of the impersonalists that in the ultimate issue, everything is impersonal. This impersonal feature stressed by the less intelligent impersonalists in school is refuted by pointing out that the predominator I is the absolute truth and that he is a person. The predominator I, Brahma, is also a person, but he is not the absolute. For realization of oneself in spiritual psychology, it may be convenient to assume oneself to be the supreme principle as the absolute truth, but there is always a difference between the predominated and the predominator, as clearly pointed out in this verse, which is grossly misused by the impersonalists. So Prabhupada is saying here, for realization of oneself in spiritual psychology, it may be convenient to assume oneself to be the same principle as the absolute truth. So this is ahangrahopashana, yeah, which is that I am one with God. And so God doesn't suffer anxieties and all these kind of things. God is eternal. You know, God is having a good time. So in the beginning, this ahangrahopashana philosophy, Prabhupada points out, has its utility. And you can see that for some people, they can think like this. Tattvam asmi, tattvam asmi. It's like that. It's just, the Vedas, the Upanishads are saying, you are like that. So we are like that, but we're not like that completely. But at least in certain qualities, it's good to meditate upon Krishna and think how we are the same, and we're not matter, we're not destructible, you know, we're not selfish, we're not greedy, like that. But the impersonalists try to make it the same, that, you know, Krishna has no personality, and that we're one in Krishna with the impersonal sense. Okay. The impersonalists grossly misuse this verse. Brahma is seeing, factually seeing face to face his predominator Lord, who exists in his eternal transcendental form even after the annihilation of the material creation. The form of the Lord, as seen by Brahma, existed before the creation of Brahma, and the material manifestation with all the ingredients and agents of material creation are also energetic expansions of the Lord. And after the exhibition of the Lord's energy comes to a close, what remains is the same personality of Godhead. Therefore, the form of the Lord exists in all circumstances of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. The Vedic hymns confirm this fact in the statement, Vasudeva Vaidam Agrasin Na Brahma Na Sankara Eko Narayana Azin Na Brahma Neshana, etc. Before the creation, there was none except Vasudeva. There was neither Brahma nor Shankara. Only the Narayan was there, and no one else, neither Brahma nor Ishana. Shripad Sankaracharya also confirms this on his Bhagavad Gita commentary, that Narayana, or the personality of Godhead, is transcendental to all creation. Narayana paro vyaktat. Of course, something Prabhupada quotes again and again in Shankara. Narayana paro vyaktat. But the whole material creation is a product of the avyakta. Yeah? Therefore, the difference between the created and the creator is always there, although both the creator and the created are of the same quality. Okay? The third feature. So first feature is that Krishna and Brahma are different. Now another one is they both have personalities. Okay? The other feature of this statement is that the Supreme Personality of God, Supreme Truth, is Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead. So that means that he possesses all Bhaga, Baghdad, the opulent city. Yeah. The personality of God and his kingdom have already been explained. You know, Brahma saw them earlier in the Bhagavatam. The kingdom of God is not void as conceived by the impersonalists. The Vaikuntha planets are full of transcendental variegatedness. Yeah? Including the four-handed residents of those planets, with great opulence of wealth and prosperity. And there are even airplanes and other amenities required by high-grade personalities. Therefore, the personality of Godhead exists before the creation. Yeah, he's a person, and he exists with all transcendental variegatedness in the Vaikuntha Lokas. The Vaikuntha Lokas are also accepted in Bhagavad Gita as being of the Sanatana nature and are not annihilated even after the annihilation of the manifested cosmos. Those transcendental planets are of a different nature altogether, and that nature is not subjected to the rules and regulations of material creation, maintenance, or annihilation. The existence of the personality of God implies the existence of the Vaikuntha Lokas, even as the existence of a king implies the existence of a kingdom. Yeah. In various places in Srimad Bhagavatam and in other revealed scriptures, the existence of the personality of Godhead is mentioned. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.10, which we just finished off, Maharaj Pariksit asks, Sachapi yatra purusho vishvam stiti udbhavapyayaha muktvatma mayam mayesha shete sarva guhashaya. Quote, translation, how does the personality of Godhead, the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, who is always free from the influence of the illusory energy and is the controller of the same, lie in everyone's heart? Okay. Similar also is a question of Viduras. Tatvanam bhagavans tesham katida prati shankramaha tatri mang ka upashiram ka usvid anusharate. Nashima Bhagavatam 3.7.37. Sounds like Dura and Maitreya. Sridhar Swami explains this in his notes. Quote, during the annihilation of the creation, who serves the Lord lying on the sesha, etc. This means that the transcendental Lord, with all his name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia, exists eternally. The same confirmation is in the Kashi Kanda of the Skanda Puran in connection with the Dhruva Charita. It is said there, Na Chaivante Pi Yad Bhakta Mahatyam Pralaya Padi Ato Chuto Kile Loke Saeka Sarvagovaya. Even the devotees of the personality of Godhead are not annihilated during the period of the entire annihilation. Yeah. Even the devotees of the personality of Godhead are not annihilated during the period of the entire annihilation of the material world. Not to speak of the Lord himself. The Lord is ever existent in all three stages of material change. The Lord is ever existent in all three stages of material change. The impersonalist adduces no activity in the Supreme. But in this discussion between Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is said to have activities also, and he has his form and quality. The activities of Brahma and other demigods during the maintenance of the creation are to be understood as the activities of the Lord. The king or the head executive of a state may not be seen in the government offices, for he may be engaged in royal comforts. Yet it should be understood that everything is being done under his direction, and everything is at his command. The personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may sometimes be called formless. but actually he is always in his eternal form in the Vaikuntha planets, as well as in other planets of the universes as different incarnations. The example of the sun is very appropriate. In this connection, the sun and the night may not be visible to the eyes of men in the darkness, but the sun is visible wherever it has risen. That the sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular part of the earth does not mean that the sun has no form. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.4.1, there is the hymn, Atmayevedam agra asit purusha vidaha. This mantra indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Even before the appearance of the Purusha incarnations. So I think it's kind of a fourth point. The first one is that Krishna and Brahma both existed. The second one is they both have personalities. The third one is that Krishna not only has a personality, but he has paraphernalia, which is all eternal. So now Prabhupada is going to talk about another point. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is the hymn Atmayavaidam. This mantra indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna even before the appearance of the Purusha incarnation. In Bhagavad Gita 15.18, it is said that Lord Krishna is Purushottama because he is a supreme Purusha, transcendental even to the Purusha Akshara and the Purusha Akshara. The Purusha Akshara, or the Mahavishnu, throws his glance over Prakriti, or material nature, but the Purushottama existed even before that. So the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad therefore confirms the statement of Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna is the supreme Purushottama. Okay. In some Vedas it is also said that in the beginning only the impersonal Brahman existed. So now here we've gone everything. Krishna and Brahma exist, they're both persons, they have their eternal abodes, and Krishna is actually beyond even the Purusha, you know, who creates the material world. Okay. So now Prabhupada's going to talk about the impersonal Brahman. In some of the Vedas, it is said also said that in the beginning only the impersonal Brahman existed. However, according to this verse, the impersonal Brahman, which is the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause. For the cause of all causes, or the remote cause, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a thing, immediate cause, remote cause. Maybe other people, they know. But for many years, I couldn't quite understand what Prabhupada was talking about, this material cause, efficient cause. You know? Then I saw like how Plato had these categories of like the ultimate cause, the efficient cause, and the material cause. You know? So some father, he gives his son the keys to the car on Friday night, gives him $20 to go after the basketball game to, you know, go and buy a root beer float with his friends. And he's supposed to be home by 10 o'clock, but then by, you know, 10:45, they get a call from the police, and they say, oh, Mr. Jones, you know, your boys were driving a little erratically, so we pulled them over and we found some beer, empty beer cans in the car, and so we arrested them for drunk driving. And now they're here in the jail. What do you want to do with them? Like that. So who's the cause of the offense? Yeah. Well, the material cause is beer. So therefore the police can arrest the beer and take it off to jail. So that's the material cause, is the beer that caused the problem. The efficient cause is the boys. Yeah. And the ultimate cause is the father. Like that. So to some degree he's responsible because he gave the keys to them, the money. But at the same time, he's not responsible because they're expected, you know, they should act properly and so on. You know? So Krishna is the cause of all causes. But some people say it's the Brahman. Yeah. Uh-huh. So let's read it again here. However, according to this verse, the impersonal Brahman, which is the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause, which is going to be the efficient cause. Which is the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause, but the cause of all causes, or the remote cause, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's impersonal feature is existent in the material world because by the material senses or material eyes one cannot be seen. The Lord cannot be seen or perceived. One has to spiritualize the senses before one can expect to see or perceive the Lord. But he is always engaged in his personal capacity. And he is eternally visible to the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka, eye to eye. Therefore, he is materially impersonal, just as the executive head of state may be impersonal in the government offices, although he is not impersonal in the government house. Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always Nirasta Kuhakam, as stated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, before the impersonal and personal features of both the impersonal and personal features of the Lord are accepted, as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The personality of Godhead is very emphatically explained in the Bhagavad Gita in connection with the verse Brahmano hi pratistaham. Therefore, in all ways, the confidential part of spiritual knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead and not his impersonal Brahman feature. One should therefore have his ultimate aim of realization not in the impersonal feature, but in the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. The example of the sky within the pot and the sky outside the pot may be helpful for a student for his realization of the all-pervading quality of the cosmic consciousness of the Absolute Truth, but that does not mean that the individual part and parcel of the Lord becomes the Supreme by false claim. So as I understand the example Prabhupada is given is that, you know, we have our body and we have our consciousness and we have our cognitive abilities and we can enjoy, and so we're just like a little bit of the sky, the Brahman, captured within the walls of a clay pot. So if someone comes along and breaks the pot, then there's no longer any distinction between the individual sky that we were and the big sky. Yeah? So the idea is that we merge with the big sky, we become one with the thing, and we become God. Yeah. God is spirit, I am spirit, you know, therefore I am God. Yeah. But that's the basic argument. And even Madhvacharya, for example, one argument is, okay, when you pour the water, you have a little container, a little glass with some water, and you have a big bowl full of water. But when you pour the water into the bowl, you know, then it becomes one with the water in the bowl. It becomes the water in the bowl. Yeah. So Madhvacharya, as I understand what he did, he had like somebody was presenting this argument. They drew a water line, and they poured the water in, and the water line went up like that. So on, of course, where the water was went up above the line that was being drawn there, to show that no, the water actually changes when this combination occurs. Yeah. Okay. But it may be useful to talk about this, that my consciousness is here. I'm conscious of things. So everything we're talking about, then everything has its own consciousness behind it. You know, everything, the chairs, the kitchen, everything else, you know, behind it, there is a consciousness everywhere. Go on. And it's not that there's any place there's dull matter of which somebody is not conscious like that. Okay? The example of the sky and the pot. But that does not mean the individual part and parcel of the Lord becomes the Supreme by a false claim. It means only that the conditioned soul is a victim of the illusory energy. There's my cursor here. Yeah. It means only that the conditioned soul is a victim of the illusory energy in her last snare. Okay. Yeah. The example of the sky and the pot may be helpful. Yeah. Yeah. To claim to be one with the cosmic consciousness is the last trap set by the illusory energy, or Daivi Maya. Even in the impersonal existence of the Lord, as it is in the material creation, one should aspire for personal realization of the Lord. And that is the meaning of Paschadaham Yare Tachcha Yoga Shishetasosmiaham. Brahmaji also accepted the truth when he instructed Narada. He said, So yam te bihitas tata bhagavan vishva bhavanaha. 2750. There is no other cause of all causes than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, this verse, Aham Eva, never indicates anything other than the Supreme Lord, and one should therefore follow the path of Brahma Sampradaya, or the path of Brahma to Narada, to Vyasa, etc., and make it a point in life to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Krishna. This confidential instruction to the pure devotees of the Lord was also given to Arjuna and to Brahma in the beginning of creation. Yeah? The demigod like Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Indra, Chandra, Varuna are all undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for executing different functions. The different elemental ingredients of material creation, as well as the multifarious energies, also may be the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the root of all of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It may be the Personality of Godhead, but the root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna, one should be attached to the root of everything, rather than bewildered by the branches and leaves. That is the instruction given in this verse. Jai, so Prabhupada ki jai. So any questions or comments?
That was really, really nice. I have a few questions, but I'll wait for others.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I have a question. What is the difference between Purusha Akshara and Purusha Akshara?
Before that, you know, up here somewhere, where is it here? Probably you know better than I do because of your language background. Purushottama. Yeah. Okay. He is the Supreme Purusha, transcendental to the Purusha Akshara and the Purusha Akshara. Well, fallible and infallible. So I guess the Purusha Akshara is Mahavishnu, and the Purusha Akshara is us, the individual living entities. Because we're fallible. You know, we can. Mahavishnu creates the entire cosmos, and he's eternally existing. You know, Mahavishnu's form never goes away, but our forms as Purusha Kshara, you know, they're temporary. You know, you're Bhakti Shuni, I guess, right now, only temporarily. I'm Hanuma Purusha,
yes.
Temporarily, but those forms won't exist. Napoleon, who knows? Maybe you were Napoleon Bonaparte. But Napoleon Bonaparte is a Purusha person, Kshara, and he's gone now.
Maharaj, I liked your very simple explanation of Krishna being the cause of all causes. You gave the example of the father and the son and the keys of the car and some money, and he gets arrested, but. You know, so you were describing the different levels of the cause. That was very good.
Again, those are Aristotle's categories. Maybe he got it from someplace else, and I guess through Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta, it entered into our Sampradaya. But for years, I could never figure out what they were, and then I saw them there. I said, I was always using these. Ultimate cause, efficient cause, and material cause.
That was excellent. Very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. At least I could.
No one else is going to ask questions? Okay, I got a few.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, go ahead.
Prabhuji, one word, Nirastara Kuhakum, please elaborate on.
A little slower, clear?
Prabhuji, please elaborate on the words Nirastar Kuhakum. I'm not sure of the pronunciation.
Where is that? Where was that discussed?
In the lower half of the purport.
Okay. Okay, so I guess I'm in the middle of the purport here with the Kashi Kanda. And then we come down here. And a little more, huh? little more?
Middle to lower half.
Yeah. Maybe somebody can help me find it. I don't see it.
I'm looking on my iPhone, so I can only watch what you're showing on the screen. I'm not at my computer, so I'm seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah. Is that first verse of the Bhagavad Gita? You asked that cool account.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. That we got it there? No, we haven't got it there. Okay.
Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always nirastha kuakam.
Bhagavan, yeah. Maybe a little more up here. Okay. And the Bhagavatam reveals scriptures. Yes. Okay, another feature is that he is Bhagavan. Okay. He exists. Radhe Radhe, Shamalade, Radhe Radhe. Okay. Okay. There's one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is 14 pages. Like that. Kind of like a discussion of big purports. Yeah. Okay. I can't find it right away.
Paragraph beginning in some of the Vedas it is stated that in the beginning only the impersonal Brahman existed.
Oh, I think a little bit farther.
The same paragraph, just little bit.
There it is. Yeah. Okay. This one, in some of the Vedas it is stated.
Yes.
Okay. So we come on down here. Okay, he saw him eye to eye. Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always nirastha kuhakam.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess like Ramananda says, I remember this is also, this is from the, what do you call it? First verse. So let's go to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Kuhakam is illusion.
Yeah.
And nirasta is, I think, like nothing, negation or.
Free from, maybe.
Yeah, negation, absence. Yeah. Nirasta kuakam, free from illusion.
Yeah. Jambariya shya, dini brahmi, muyanti yasuya o. Dhamni.
That's the last part. Dhamna svena siddhan nirasta kuakam siddhya.
There it is.
Dhinihi.
Yeah.
The last line.
And so the word by word says. Nirasta, negation by absence. And kuhakam means illusion, like that. So in some way, it's just that the existence of the material world is real because doesn't exist. That's why, you know. Yeah, that's the reality it has. You see, there is no material world. You know, okay, then there is a material world because we're negating it. In that sense. But that's the kind of reality it has. You know, yeah. There, Prabhupada says, for example, there are no what's the word? There are no horns of the rabbit. You know, rabbits don't have horns, so we're negating the existence of the horns of the rabbit, and that's the kind of existence they have. So Brahma's abode is. You know, forever free from illusion. He always exists there, and therefore there is no non-existence in Brahma's abode. Yeah, and therefore in the spiritual world. Yeah, and therefore all the paraphernalia there is eternal. But how do we say that by saying it's not non-existent? Yeah? Because we have no knowledge of the permanent things. So we see permanent things, everything changing around us, and what closest approximation we can see is nirasta kuhakam. Yeah. It's okay?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Got it.
Maharaj, I have two questions, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I just want clarification on when Srila Prabhupada, in many of his purports, will make this point about thinking that you're the supreme is the last snare of Maya. So I see it two ways. One is that after you're completely free from all material contamination, still there's this contamination, like the last thing, even after you give up all material things? Or is it that this is the last snare of Maya, and once you get over that hump, then you'll be truly liberated? Which is it, or can you elaborate?
Well, what I hear Prabhupada say is that, you know, the last snare, Maya comes to you and she says, "Oh, Prabhu, Ramananda, you figured it all out. Now you figured out that you have to give up sense gratification." And so finally you get the big prize and I surrender unto you and you become my husband. So that's Maya's, you know, Maya's last snare is that you become God and you become her husband, like that, you know.
Okay, nice analogy. By the way, throughout the class, wonderful analogies.
Well, they're just Prabhupada, I think, mostly. I mean, or something I heard someplace else. You know. Someone told me. Yeah.
Okay, I want to read a little passage here, one or two sentences from the purport.
Okay.
The Vedic hymns confirm this fact in the statement, Vasudeva va idam agra asin, na Brahma, na cha Shankara, Ekonarayana Asi, na Brahma, etc. Before the creation, there is none except Vasudeva. There was neither Brahma nor Shankara. Only Narayana is there, no one else, neither Brahma nor Ishana. So, of course, Lord Shiva, Ishana. About Lord Shiva. The Lord Shiva that is in the material world, there is an eternal form of Lord Shiva. So the Lord Shiva in the material world is a temporary form that is subject to creation and annihilation?
Yeah. What I understand is just like there's a mirror. The material world is a mirror. Sometimes it's closed down. But when the mirror is there, then what's his name? Sadashiva. Sadashiva in Vaikuntha with Parvati, who are almost like Lakshmi and Narayan, their worship, their respect, their dignity, their beauty, their subtlety, everything else, you know, they then position themselves so they can be seen in the mirror, right? And then we're looking at the mirror and we see these forms, and the mirror then can be in the mode of goodness, and we see, you know, Shiva and Parvati in a very clear form. And by worshiping them, we can very easily go to what, the Lakshmi and Narayan. But then as the mirror becomes distorted, then we get Kali and Bhairav and, you know, Shiva dancing like a madman and Kali drinking blood and, you know, all this kind of weird stuff, you know. And so those forms never really did exist anyway. You know, they're just perverted reflections of the eternal Shiva. So when there's no mirror, those forms don't exist.
Hmm. Wonderful example. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a problem with it. Yeah. The Paramatma is the same way. Shiva Dakshaya Vishnu and Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu also don't exist. You know, if you realize either one of those, it's not permanent. Only when you realize Mahavishnu, you know, then we've actually come to the point of an eternal position like that.
Maharaj, you said that when you worship Lord Shiva and Parvati, can go to Lakshmi and Narayan. Now, in Gita, Krishna says, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So if we worship the demigods, we go to the planets of the demigods.
Uh-huh.
But Krishna says, at the end of that, Yanti Majjajanopima, but those who worship me come to me. So something doesn't sound right.
Yeah, you didn't catch my weasel word.
Okay, then let's hear it.
I said, if we're worshipping the form of Sadashiva and Lakshmi, then it's very easy to go to the form of Lakshmi.
I see, to make the transition to
because they're
a
very
higher level of worship. There's
very little, you know, very little difference between Sadashiva and Parvati and Vaikuntha and Lakshmi to worship, you know, like that, you know, yeah. But of course, when we start off, if we're worshipping Lord Shiva and we're sincere devotees of Lord Shiva, In the beginning, we're offering our, we start offering our marijuana to Lord Shiva before we smoke it, you know? And we start doing these things. We offer a goat, we take our thing, we take our lickens, and we give up on that. And so then by worshiping Shiva and Parvati, we keep going to subtler and subtler forms. Until finally we're worshiping them in the mode of goodness. You know? And then at that point, then they say, then it's very easy when you're worshiping them. Because Prabhupada says the Lord Shiva is the, functional material body of Krishna. Functional right. material body of Krishna. I got your version
describe
back.
That Krishna never touches the material nature, but when he does, he does so as Shiva. And if we follow, if we really embrace the teachings of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhananam Param. That the highest form of worship, as he's telling Parvati, is to worship Vishnu. And then, of course, that verse goes on further and says, Tasmat Parataram Devi Tidiyanam Samarchanam. But then even higher than worship of Vishnu is to worship his devotees.
So, paraphernalia. Tadiyam.
Tidiyanam, that which is in relation to.
Wow. We're in the class here in Chicago, they're on the sixth canto, and Angira and Narada are just enlightening Maharaj Chitraketu. And it gets to be so subtle in these higher cantos. He was together enough, basically a little confused, you know. And so when Angira came the first time, he couldn't enlighten him. He couldn't give the Bhagavatam to him. So he created a situation where he would come to his senses to let him enjoy what he was trying to enjoy, and then he took it away. And so his suffering and his shake-up was even more than just like not having it. Then he said, okay, now you're in a position to understand this philosophy. Yeah. And Brahma, actually, that's the whole thing. That at the end of the third canto, in the second canto, the sages want to hear what Maitreya and Vidura were discussing because they understood that Krishna gave a higher knowledge to Uddhava and Maitreya than he gave to Brahma when his darshan was there. So what Brahma is getting is just sufficient, you know, to understand how to do his job in the material world and Vaikuntha. But then Krishna to Uddhava gave this knowledge of actually of Dwarka and so on. So it's different levels. And pretty much it's just the comprehension we're going to get from this is that nothing, every river we see, every toothache we have, it's, if we look at it carefully, we'll see, you know, that all the other stuff disappears and Krishna is there. And Krishna's a person, we're a person. And then he has his paraphernalia, he's Bhagavan, like that, you know. And that behind everything, the Brahman is also, you know, just his effulgence, like that. You know? So it's not wrong. We had this discussion with these nuns here, the Dominican Priory, and it was established in 1906. And we went there, it was very nice. It was one Baha'i fellow, one Methodist deaconess, or I guess like a priestess, what do you call her? Bishopess. And one a very nice nun, and then she introduced us to the prioress. And it was a very nice discussion about, you know, because they all believe in God. They all kind of worship him. They're all very practical people. And they're even on the level of all of our interfaith dialogue. But this thing came up. I was talking about God, he, this, and that. And they were saying, well, because of the modern world, we tend to avoid these gender phrases. And later up the prioress, she said, well, we don't want too much to talk about the personality of God because it disturbs things. So then I was presenting our ideas, and her eyes were opening. She was like, wow. You know? So it was a very, very nice discussion. But you could see that so many of the ideas that we are seeing here, you know, they're entering into their philosophy and culture. And it's exactly what Prabhupada says. You have to deal with this. And he gives these analogies and everything else to be able to deal with them like that. Okay. So any more questions or someone like that?
I had to mute a few people. Maybe I'll unmute everybody.
So any more questions or comments or complaints? Everybody has actually realized that we are all God after this report.
You're not all God.
Thank you so much.
I am God, you are God, we are all God. My God. Yeah. Yeah, just take the person to the zoo and show him the lion. And that's God, fella. Oh, my God. He is so mean. He is so terrible. Okay. It's snowing here. You know what snow is in Hawaii?
Yeah, I grew up with snow.
Okay.
Maharaj, where did you get that example of the yarn?
I can't remember. Yeah, that's the example. The Krishna, the yarn is always there, but you have to have the right perspective to see it. But now that it gets together, there's no sweater. The sweater is just simply the yarn putting itself together in a certain fashion. So this material world is capable of a personal relationship with it if we have the right attitude like that.
The other point is Prabhupada, you know, right in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, he says the impersonalists, they, you know, he's indirectly referring to Brahma, Satya, Jagan, Mitra, that they say this world is false, but the Vaishnavas, they accept that the illusory energy is temporary, but because it's the energy of the Lord, it is real. We accept because it's coming from Krishna.
Yeah. Even I saw one Buddhist thing. I'm looking at one Buddhist tract somebody brought back. They were traveling, you know. And they say everything doesn't exist, but you know, while we're here and to realize this, there's a contingent reality. So it's the same thing. If you're going to make any progress everywhere else, you've got to have to accept to some degree. You know, of course, they say when you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him, you know, because the Buddha is also illusion. Yeah, but simultaneously, you know, the Buddha gives the four principles and, you know, the sixfold sufferings or whatever it is, sixfold sufferings, the great noble, the eightfold path and so on. Well, that's all illusion.
That's kind of implodes on itself. It's
exactly.
That is a very weird statement. If you see the Buddha on the road, kill him. What kind of a statement is that?
Well, it's just like the statement, those who speak do not know, those who know do not speak.
I mean, you have your ideal is to be enlightened, and then when you meet someone who's enlightened, you kill him? That's crazy.
I was trying to understand this Buddhism before I became a devotee, you know. Then I read Prabhupada said, it is an incomprehensible philosophy. Was, oh, God, that's why I can't understand it. Yeah.
But the illusory energy, it works if you have your Shastric vision and you see Krishna work, you know, he's present within this Mahatattva, is super soul, and between the atoms, and you know the energy is under his, like the example in the purport, the king doesn't have to be present for his influence to be felt. So Krishna's influence is here. So there's some reality to it. Also, it's not like it you know, to say none of this exists. It sort of plays into that Buddhist conundrum, you know, the koan, you know,
like a prison house, right? And the governor and stuff, he can go into the prison, and you know, from his point of view, all the doors open up, everything else, everybody respectful and stuff like that. But it's real, but it's a temporary reality for a certain specific purpose, you know. And so it has a reality, like the, you know, you get rewards and prizes in certain ways, things are happening in certain ways. But it's not the real world, you know. But it is a real world because a part of the real world is to reform people and take them to this higher, back to the normal reality like that.
Right.
It's amazing.
So if you, if you approach it correctly, then the very source of bewilderment becomes the source of liberation.
It's like, you know, Johnny Cash, he went to Folsom Prison. You know, it's one of his very best albums when he did this whole, he did a whole show in Folsom Prison like that, and so on, you know. But the whole purpose of it was to kind of like a little avatar, to come there and to relate to the prisoners where they were at, and the same time too, to inspire them to like, you know, to get it together and get out like that and so on. So it was one of his very best albums. You know, he did. You know, one of his best albums. But it was in the prison. So when Krishna comes or the governor comes, they can have a really good time, messing around in the prison and talking to these guys in the madhouse. I mean, if you want to have a good, interesting day, just go to a mental hospital.
That's a great analogy. Well, that's a good one. You're hot for analogies today.
Yeah. Try the mental hospital. You have a great day. It'll be unbelievable. I mean, Nitya Gaur Sundar sometimes when he comes home from work, one of his guys thinks he's the king of Ireland. So he goes on like that, and he has to address him that way, or the guy won't talk to him. So he says, "Your Majesty, how is this happening today?" and so forth, so on. And he's it's one of the perks of being a psychiatrist is you get to deal with people who lead interesting lives. In this boring world.
Maharaj, before you go, Sunil, do you have one more question?
I did not address you as Maharaj earlier, so actually I would like to apologize. Please forgive me. I didn't know how to address.
Well, I'm also, we're all Prabhus, because Srila Prabhupada is probably, I saw the kind of thing floating by on the screen there. I didn't even notice it. We're all Prabhus because we're all under Prabhupada, So in some respects we're all Prabhus. It's fine with me. Just don't. You can call me anything, but just don't call me late for lunch. I'm looking out my window right now, and the snow is falling. And across the street is the Chex Cash place and the Coca-Cola truck, and it's miserable. Miserable Chicago. It's unbelievable. And the preaching here and everything else, like that. Wow. Tough area where they are. And I think if everybody else is in Hawaii, But on the other hand, actually, it's amazing because people are so, weather is so weird here that you can't go outside. And so therefore, they have a lot of philosophy groups here, Madame Blavatsky and, all these groups here. So from this kind of intellectual preaching and the stuff I was seeing, and it's just the yoga clubs and stuff. We've been doing Carl Jung, and right away, people are coming and stuff like that. So it has this aspect of people that are very mental here and stuff, because there's nothing else to do. You can't go outside. They're expecting a polar vortex on next Tuesday, 50 below zero centigrade.
Wow. Wow.
Exposed flesh freezes in 30 seconds.
Oh.
Welcome to Hawaii. Where is it? Chicago.
We're Chicago. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come join us in Hawaii. It's it's going to be about 82 degrees today. Perfect day for body surfing. The water temperature is still mid 80s.
Unless you get a hurricane, right?
We're really not a big hurricane area. It's not like Florida. Our biggest concern here are tsunamis.
Okay. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. Everywhere. And toothaches.
Toothaches.
Not only that, but hurricane season is almost over.
Oh, okay. Now we can be happy forever. I was noticing it at the end of the whole causing manifestation. It goes on and on like this. Krishna keeps giving us a chance to try and enjoy this way and that way, but in the end, everything drops down to absolute zero. In the end, everything. And there's no place to run. There's no place to hide. There's no better weather happening. In the end, everything drops to zero, and we have to go into this comatose state and exist in the body of Mahavishnu or something, or Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Or else we have to get out altogether, like that. So material nature, but he doesn't explain this to Brahma. Brahma is very short, these four verses, and I think the whole idea is that Brahma is so intelligent that once the basic principle is there, he can just figure everything else out.
Well, Thank you, Maharaj. In spite of your busy preaching schedule, you take time out like this. All glory to your service.
You're just talking to my mouth. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mauro.
Thank you very much.
We'll go to the dentist now and test how advanced we are, actually.
Thank you, Mauro.
Jai, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Bol, Jai. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Bol.
Thank you.